Who in their right mind doesn't unwrap all their Christmas presents? Who does that? There's no one that does that. Who in their right mind doesn't unwrap their birthday presents? Who in the right mind doesn't unwrap their Easter chocolates? Although that would be me. There's still some in my office. Who in their right mind doesn't unwrap their anniversary presents? No one does that, do they? Do you know anybody that doesn't unwrap their presents? Apart from that movie where Tom Hanks was a castaway, and he had that one parcel he didn't unwrap the whole time. Like, open it, see what's in it, open it. Could be something, could be a locator beacon or something, but anyway. I mean, who doesn't unwrap their present? Who leaves the Christmas tree set up all year with a present underneath it, addressed to you, and you don't open it? No one does that, do they? But we do it with the gifts that God has given to us. And that's what this series is all about. This series that Shane talked to us about last week, the gift of overcoming fear. We have these innumerable, incredible amount of treasures that God gives to us, and we leave them piled under the Christmas tree, and we don't open them out. We don't do that because it's just silly to not unwrap our presents. The gifts that we have are ours for the taking. And for us not to unwrap a gift that has been given to us is almost dishonoring of the person that's given to us, isn't it? Those gifts were given to us with thought and with purpose and with us in mind, and often with great sacrifice. Someone's actually spent more than what they should. And if you've seen the credit card bill statements in the last couple of weeks, you'll know what that means. In order for us to have it and for us to not open it, it's crazy. It's the same with us and our faith, with what God has given to us. But, and this is the surprising thing, this is what we do with those things that God has graced us with. We don't open them. God has great things for us, waiting for us. And yet, we sit there, and we leave them, and we don't unwrap them. Today, as you saw from the kids' talk, I want to talk to you a little bit about the gift of learning. And I think probably those kids could master that thing fairly quickly, and the rest of us adults would be like, never get that. But we'd learn to get it better. I'm sure we would. Learning, the gift of learning might not be the first thing you think of when it comes to the gifts that God gives to us, but it's certainly one that we do not take up to the extent that it was designed for us. So let me tell you the premise that I'm working on this morning. God invites us to be intelligent. Let me say that again. God invites us to be intelligent. I know that's a surprise to a few people, but that's the nature of the God we worship. And I'll back up that claim in just a moment. The fact that God invites us to be intelligent, I know, is a surprise to many who oppose the Christian faith. But that's the nature of the God we worship. It's no great earth-shattering discovery. All you have to do is look around at creation and see what the physical world looks like. And you can see spiritual realities in there as well. For the first 18 or so, roughly, years of our lives, our main occupation is learning, isn't it? And for some of us, it's actually a little bit longer. We go to uni or do post-grad studies, and so it expands out a bit further. But for the first 18 years, we are learners. I was probably a little bit less interested in learning because the local trout population was fairly attractive to me, so I was chasing them. But the bulk of our time is spent in classrooms attempting to acquire new knowledge. And then, once we pass all the tests and finish with school, finish with uni, it's almost like we believe the education part of our life is done. And we clock our card and we turn off. And we think we've learned enough and we can put our brains on the shelves and live out of what we've learned. It's like we've ticked a box and now we can get on with life, get on with other things. But that's not a reality in the world we live in, is it? It's a constant learning world. We know it's moving, we know it's fast-paced. We know that learning is a prerequisite to being alive in this world. And there are some disciplines, some occupations that have to learn and keep on learning. I mean, you'd expect your doctor to know more today than what they did, or he or she did 15 years ago, wouldn't you? You'd hope that your computer technician would know more today than what they did 15 years ago. You'd hope that your mechanic knew more about today's cars than the cars that were built in the 1980s. And all of us, to some extent, have to learn new things in our workplace, but the question comes, what about beyond our employment, our immediate employment? What about our faith? Where do we learn there? It is a gift to keep learning. It's something that God has equipped us to use. But the vast majority of our nation checks out when it comes to lifelong learning, and we tend to rest on our laurels for the bulk of our life. But right up until our last moments, our last breathing moments, we are meant to learn. And while this might be sad for our community, if our community is a non-learning community, it's doubly sad when it comes to those of us who profess faith. To not keep on learning is to not open the gift that God has given to us. It disregards the gift of learning. It leaves the present unwrapped. I want to explain why I said that in four different ways, why learning is a gift. And I want to explain the reasons why I think God invites us to be intelligent. Four things. The first one is this. One of the things we know about God is that we don't know very much about God. Is that true? One of the things we know about God is we know that we don't know very much about God. What we know is only a shadow of what the reality truly is. That's why we have so many questions of life. And in particular, when things go awry, that's why we don't understand. Because if we did understand, we would actually be God, wouldn't we? And so we struggle to comprehend the mind of God. Specifically, God has so much further information and knowledge for us to discover about himself. And if we could understand all about God, all these things about God, we would actually be God ourselves. But we aren't. And we don't understand it all. So we are invited, God invites us into a process of discovery, a process of learning. We're meant to learn about God all the days of our life. It's meant to be this process, ongoing, understanding who God is a little bit more, a little bit further. Our horizons continue to be expanded. Think about this for a moment. Think about those of us who are married or who have significant partners or have been in a relationship for a long time. I bet even those who've been married for a long time would still say they don't know everything about their partner. True? True? Yeah. And, you know, you think you get married and you're going to learn all about your partner and everything's going to be honky-dory, and then you discover reality, don't you? There are still more things to learn about our partners, aren't there? More discoveries, they change, and they different experiences and different things happening to them. And that is of a human person. So much more for God. If that's true about our partner, how true is it then for the one who made our partner? How true is it then for the one who made the universe, for the one who holds all things together? I love that quote from Donald Rumsfeld. I'm sure some of you have heard it. He uttered it in Department of Defense news briefing, February the 12th, 2002. He recast some of T.H. Lawrence's words. Let me see if I can read it out to you in the way that he said it, without the accent. Reports say that something hasn't happened are always interesting to me because, as we know, there are known knowns. There are things we know. We also know there are known unknowns. That is to say, we know that there are some things that we do not know. But there are also unknown unknowns, the ones we know we don't know. If the one looks through history of our country and other free countries, it's the latter category, the unknown unknowns, that tend to be the difficult ones. Had you heard that before? Great quote, isn't it? He said it from a speech, and then some months later he said it verbatim. Same words, straight through again. My friends, we have to keep on learning because there is so much to know about God. His unfolding character, His nature, His grace and His mercy, they just keep rolling on and invites us to understand about Him and to learn about Him. The second thing why we should be lifelong learners is that Jesus was obviously a learner too. The reading we had today, Bronwyn read to us from Luke chapter 2, is taken from when Jesus was a boy in the temple. Very interesting if you meditate upon it. It's clear that Jesus was learning from the scribes and the teachers in the temple. Let me read out Luke chapter 2, verse 45 and 46. I'll read it out to you again. When they did not find him, that is his mother and father, they went back to Jerusalem looking for him. Verse 46. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. What was Jesus doing? Well, he was doing simply what a student would do in those days. He was asking questions, answering, trying to figure out, wrestling with this knowledge. It tells us, Jesus was a learner. Only in his way, he was way beyond what someone his age would have been. But think about it for a moment. If Jesus, the perfect human, if Jesus, the model we are to emulate, if Jesus, the one who is the full and the final revelation of God, if he was a learner, what does that mean for us? Here he is in the temple, listening, asking questions, learning. If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us, isn't it? Now, some of us might say, hang on a minute, well, he was only a 12-year-old boy. I did all my learning when I was up, 12. I actually, finished school at 15, and I'm, 3 years past that, and all good. But look at, let me read to you verse 47. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. Jesus, in the temple there, was in front of some of the best and the brightest in the whole nation. And they were amazed at his answers. I think we have a long way to go in our learning, don't we? This is the third thing. God has made our minds in a way that we can gather new information. You were meant to keep on adapting to your environment, to keep on being a learner, right up until the last moment of your life. Your brain is suited to keep on learning, and to not learn leads to brain atrophy. That is, you die mentally and you stop learning. We've all heard those adverts about keeping our brains active, which are basically ways in which we buy more electronic devices, but it's true behind that. There are some studies, and I found quite a few this week, that suggest those who continue to learn are 2.5 times less likely to develop Alzheimer's than those who check out in their learning card. God has made us to learn. We have the ability to learn all the time. Some of the great people, some of the great thinkers of our world knew this to be true. Abraham Lincoln said this: I do not think much of a man who is no wiser today than what he was yesterday. Oh, that's a challenge, isn't it? Henry Ford said, anyone who stops learning is old, whether at 20 or 80. And anyone who keeps learning stays young. The greatest thing in your life is to keep your mind young. That's Henry Ford. Teddy Roosevelt read a book, A Day, for most of his life, even in through two terms of presidency. A book a day for most of his life. Extraordinary. I mean, he was a speed reader. I mean, some of us wouldn't read a book a year. Isn't that true? The last thing I want to say about the gift of learning, the fourth thing, is that the Bible actually endorses it. If you happen to flip open the book of Proverbs, you might see one or two references to learning, like 1 or 200. Let me quote a few. Proverbs 1:5, let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. It doesn't say let the stupid add to their learning, but the wise. Proverbs 18:15, the heart of the discerning acquires knowledge, for the ears of the wise seek it out. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. In fact, seems to me very strongly that Proverbs links learning with wisdom. Gathering learning increases wisdom. And of course, the great command, when Israel were learning about God and how to live God's ways, and way back in Deuteronomy 6, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, all your mind. These commandments that I give to you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your forehead. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. I could go on for hours about biblical references on learning. It is extraordinary how much so the Bible endorses us to keep on learning. So here's the question. Why don't we? Why do we stop learning? Why do we do our time at school and some of us at university and then hardly anything apart from some skills for some working, and then that's it? We hardly adapt. Why do we stop? I'm not sure you really want to know the answer to that question. Do you? Maybe? Sort of? I'll tell you what I think, and then you can email me if you don't agree. And Marianne will check them. Let me put it out there. I think the reason we stop learning is because we're lazy. I think it's as simple as that. I think the reason we stop learning is because we are lazy. Learning for most of us is discipline, but we don't like anything that restrains us or tells us what we should and shouldn't do. Therein lies the problem. We're happy to go home, flick on the TV, and turn our brains off. We don't want any more work, so we stop learning. I know that I've got a very healthy measure of the Protestant work ethic. And I'm sure I'll be accused of that many times, but when I recall those things that both my grandfathers told me, when I consider what they did, what my forebears went through, what both my grandmothers did to make a living, you know, I don't have anything to complain about in life at all. In fact, I've got it so easy that it's laughable. There is time for us to invest in learning if we want to. In fact, we must make time to learn about God. We must. We're way too quick to throw in the towel when it comes to being tired, aren't we? I've worked my 38-hour week. I'm tired. So what can we do about it? How do we unwrap this gift? How do we expose ourselves to more learning that's helpful for us, that enriches us, that builds us up and builds our community of faith up? It's easy. It is easy, but it requires some discipline and some work. Here are a few suggestions. Enroll in a course of study. Gee, that was really complicated, wasn't it? Go to a Bible class. Go to Uniting College. Join a BSF group. Join a reading group. Get online. There's heaps of resources online for us to learn from. Volunteer yourself not just to attend, but to lead a home group. If you want to learn, then learn how to lead. Leading is always about learning. Form a new house group. Ask someone to keep you accountable in reading through the Bible in 12 months. And reading through the Bible in 12 months can be done with just a few minutes a day of reading. Pick six of the great spiritual classics for a 12-month period and read them. And ask someone to read along with you. Get someone to read and so that you're keeping up with them. Six of the great spiritual classics is like one every 2 months. Doesn't sound like a lot, does it? When you think about it. My friends, there are thousands of ways to unwrap this gift. There are thousands of things that we can do to keep on learning and to be a learning people. You know, I don't make you feel guilty in this. We all feel enough guilt, don't we? But you know what I really want as a pastor? Do you know what my heart's desire for you is that for you to be the best that you can be? And that's no original idea of mine because I'm pretty sure God wants that of you too. And so this gift of learning is given to you in order to help you be that. And it's offered by a loving Father with a hand open and says, "Here it is. Do you want it?" Let me pray.